This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's Tuesday. The rains have passed. Hopefully it's going to get a little sunny from here on out in terms of the rest of this week. Grizzlies got slapped around last night in Denver. Sort of expected it. 128-103. Good news is that four-game road trip is over. Grizzlies will be back at home tomorrow night against the Lakers. Before, guess what? They got to go back out on the road for three more. They will finish the season with 5 of their last 6 at home. And the one Wednesday with the Lakers hopefully will include one LeBron James and hopefully will include one Brandon Clark. We'll be talking about that today. Celtics blew a 30-point lead to who? Houston. This is your NBA wraparound, John. They remained red hot. Watch out, Golden State. Phoenix suffered an unacceptable loss last night. We got new NFL kickoff rules to discuss. Yeah, that's the owners' meetings that are taking place, and all the coaches are down there. That's why we saw the press conference yesterday from Mike Tomlin and from others. We've also had Shohei Ohtani come out and speak. First time since this gambling scandal involving his interpreters and now fired interpreter. First time he's spoken, did so through a new interpreter. And last night, John, you'll be happy. I was watching the women's college NCAA tournament, so you didn't have to.
Oh, buddy.
So you didn't have to. And guess what? I experienced a treat because I saw Caitlin Clark for Iowa last night, and Ren Baker and them, West Virginia, couldn't take her down. Caitlin did break another record, John, you'll be happy to know. And then after that, I watched Juju Watkins, the freshman star for USC. So I'm very excited to talk to our first guest today a little bit later, because I've got some NCAA tournament women's questions to ask our first guest, John.
Thank you very much for doing that. That was a service.
The Stars were on this. Dude, they have more star power than the men's tournament.
Yeah, period. But you know, the women's game is messy, bro.
Paige, like, it's messy. Juju, Caitlin, like, they got studs, and they're fighting. That's the other thing.
Sometimes literally.
They're going hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I
enjoyed it. And they hit their free throws.
I just feel like every time I look up, like, I saw some coach, maybe it was the Utah coach, complaining about fans being racist at games.
Now, that was horrible. Their experience.
I know, but you don't ever hear about that in the men's game. Like, why is that happening at the women's game?
Was it Utah or Utah State?
I read one of the two. Yeah, okay. I don't remember.
Yeah. Experienced extreme racism.
Like, you've never heard at a NCAA tournament game, like, complaints of racism.
They were in, if I'm not mistaken, they were in Idaho, weirdly. And it had been shipped to Spokane, but were staying in Idaho. And had some, racial N-word, everything else thrown at them right there in their faces. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the guy revving the pickup truck.
The women's game is just, I feel like it's just messy, that's all.
It was Utah, John. You're right. It's not Utah State's Utah.
Yeah. Dude, I know ball, bro. I mean, I know my women's game. Is Utah the, I think the Utah women's program has that, like, Hooper. I can't remember her name. I might be wrong on that. Pilly. That's the one. Yeah, she had 35 in the loss. But she was like, Alyssa Pilly was like going crazy. Yeah,
they're out of the tournament now, lost to the Zags.
What'd she average this year? She had 21 a game. No Caitlin Clark, but I mean, she definitely gave some buckets this year. So
they got Paige Buckers. They got they got stars.
Yeah, they got stars in the women's tournament. The Cameron Brink at Stanford. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll continue to blow you away every day with my ball nolly.
Thank you.
Anyway, Jessica Bitz is going to join us at 11:25. We are going to have a late edition here.
She's a USC grad.
Jeff Calkins will join us at 1:25, moving him from Thursday. He's got some stuff going on Thursday, so we'll have him here on the show later on today. Talk to him about the NCAA tournament, talk to him about some other things. So that will happen at 1:25. But as we like to do usually to start the week, we have a few topics that we'll toss around, and we'll do it in a segment we like to call Cap or No Cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different now. It's Cap.
I'm going to say Cap.
For No Cap.
I'm going to say that that's No Cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
All right, busy day yesterday in the world of the sports gambling industry. Jason, you believe Shohei Ohtani is innocent and Jontae Porter is guilty.
Yeah, so this involves a couple of different items here. Shohei spoke yesterday through an interpreter. Says he did not gamble and his interpreter stole from him. I watched the presser. Mm-hmm. Was looking for body language and signs. Now they say, what is it? You look up to the left or look up to the right. It's one of them when you're lying. Remember? Have you guys heard that one? It's a tell.
I'll stare right through your ass.
John will look right at you and lie. So he beats all the tails.
Yeah, I've heard some of these.
Yeah, they are.
They're
one of them's
real
looking up or
people
something.
Study
looking
this
up
stuff.
Yeah, your brain, like it sends up your. Anyway, I sense.
Oh no!
Through my body language analysis.
Oh no!
That Shohei is telling the truth.
Oh okay.
This interpreter was stealing from him.
Wow.
And. John, that, you know, the 90-minute interview they did with the interpreter that eventually Shohei's people stopped and said, no, we need to, we need to go back. And, you know, I suppose, too, we had looked at that, how that could be evidence of, well, maybe Shohei was the one gambling and they figured out, well, we got to change our story. It could also be you find out through him answering all those questions with ESPN or whatever else that, you know what, there's a lot more going on here and he has stolen from us. I mean, that's just as plausible as the other scenario,
right?
As painting this as maybe Shohei did it, acting as if he didn't know. I don't know. We don't have much to go on here, but I thought the guy looked pretty believable and was telling the truth. I believe Shohei is telling the truth here, and that you had an interpreter going crazy, had access to his money. Now you ask, why? What the heck? How much you trust this guy? But he did a lot for Shohei to that point where it was almost as it was like a personal assistant thing as opposed to just somebody's interpreter. And so
I guess that's the piece
question
of it.
Shohei's wisdom,
right?
Is, allowing someone to get this close to you that apparently you had no business trusting.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe him. Maybe I'm naive to do so, but I think Shohei's telling the truth here.
Well,
a little back and forth on this.
I think that's the part that I struggle with is like, how does an interpreter have access to your money?
Well, it's not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It seems he was much more than that. You know, did everything for him.
But
paying bills, whatever else.
So like, he just had full fledged access to his bank account.
I mean, that's the story that they're.
I mean, that seems kind of insane to me. You know, like. I'm not just giving access. I mean, I love you, but you're not going to have the ability to wire money in the sum of $500,000 at a time. You know, you would think that Ohtani would have a financial team as someone who is worth what he is worth.
Yeah.
Who would say, "Hey, whoa, what was that?" Because I assume he has a lifestyle that meets, you know, his not meets, but it's quite a lifestyle, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So all money coming in, going out is like watched. So, like, nobody said anything? Like, nobody alerted him? We're just now hearing about this after $4.5 million was wired out? Like, I just have there's a lot of holes still for me.
Okay.
That were not answered. And, again, I don't know. He may have just been, like, a best friend and, hey, man, you can write checks and wire instructions and anything you want. And, like, we're cool. Maybe he would have never suspected that his interpreter would have been caught up in something like this. I can see that. I'm not sure. I don't want to say
that's not fair.
I'm not going to call Shohei Ohtani a liar. Like I don't understand why he would go up there and lie. You know that why would he do that? Why would he have a press conference where he's just going to tell lies? You know, I don't see why that would happen.
He didn't take questions.
He did not take questions. That's true, and that's kind of
if you're an open book, you know, as far as this investigation is concerned, you're telling the whole truth. You think, okay, well, a lot of times you're going to be comfortable enough to take questions.
Right.
Did not do that.
Yes. So I think those are the like loose ends that still have to be tied up for me. How do you have that much money going out and nobody like says anything without you knowing? And then B, how does he even have the ability? Why does he even have the ability? It could just be, look, athletes have poor judgment, right? I mean, it happens. Most athletes go broke. The majority, it feels like. Very few are prudent. Very few are financially, responsible. You know, I mean, it happens a lot. And so Shohei Ohtani would not be the first, and he would not be the last. So I do leave room for that possibility, that he really legitimately did not know what was happening. I also leave room for the fact that he did know what was happening, and he doesn't want to acknowledge that he knows what was happening.
Didn't know that he had an interpreter had a gambling issue, or didn't know what was happening in the sense he was making the bets?
Right.
Which one of those two are you saying?
He knew his interpreter was betting, right? Like, I think there's a very real possibility he knew the score there. I don't think Shohei Ohtani himself was betting. I think the worst case scenario here is it was his interpreter. He covered his ass, and he just doesn't want to be caught up in it. You know, and now that it's all out there, he just wants to distance himself from it when he was really just trying to do his guy a favor. And $4.5 million to Shohei Ohtani, all due respect, it ain't nothing.
I mean, to say I've never bet on baseball or any other sports, I've never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
Yeah, that's pretty definitive. Yeah,
it is, just in case, because folks could have receipts.
But he could also have plausible deniability.
That he's covered himself.
He was going through his interpreter to put the bets in. You know, so I mean, the bookmaker, by the way, the illegal bookmaker, whatever his name is, I can't remember. He ain't going to say anything. He ain't going to snitch, right? There's no gain in him for him to do that.
Well, it's the bookmaking that's being investigated.
Yeah,
not him.
But he's not going to say, Shohei was the one making the bets. There's no incentive because it's not even illegal, right? It's not illegal for Shohei Ohtani to make bets on sports that aren't baseball. Pete Rose was betting on baseball. Pete Rose was betting on games he was involved in. You know, I mean, that's totally different. It's totally different. If Shohei Ohtani wants to go bet $500,000 on the Grizzlies plus 14.5 versus the Denver Nuggets, bad bet. Seems like he made a lot of those, but it's fine. It's not illegal for him to do that. It's illegal for the book to take it. But NFL, we've already been through this with Jameson Williams and those guys. You know, you can bet on sports now as long as it's not your own and games you're involved in. So I don't know. Like, I think there's so much pearl clutching now going on about sports betting. And I acknowledge that there are real dangers to it if not monitored appropriately. But I would argue, in the case of Jontay Porter, for example, that the guardrails in place, because sports betting is legalized, you know, alerted people to what was happening. Alerted, you know, that there could be some, you know, malicious intent. I mean, I there's no doubt in my mind that Jontay Porter threw those games for himself and you know, took himself out of the game. I mean, there's just no way that I just don't see a world where, and in case you haven't heard, Jontay Porter, the brother of Michael Porter Jr., former Grizzly, is now being investigated by the NBA for suspicious betting activity regarding his unders. Right? Not his overs. Not his overs. But his unders.
Does this mean we can get that six pick maybe, because they lost them games?
I don't know. We'd have to look into it. We'd have to investigate. But a lot of people wonder what a betting scandal in 2024 would look like. It's not like Bradley Beal going out there and throwing a game, right? It's not, John Morant. It's a bit player who is on a two-way contract, whose future in the league is already probably pretty murky as it is, who is looking to take advantage of maybe what is a winding down situation. This is what it would look like. So for those that don't know, there's two games in particular that the NBA is looking into regarding Jontay Porter. January 26th against the LA Clippers. His over-under on points, 5.5. Over-under on rebounds, 4.5. Over-under on assists, 1.5. Over-under for his made three-pointers, 0.5. Most money came in on his unders, like big money. People try to put big money on these bets. And that night, on January 26th, with all that under money having come in, he played 4 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was an aggravation of an eye injury he had suffered 4 days earlier against the Grizzlies.
Hey.
He didn't score against the Clippers, had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and did not attempt a three, meaning every single under came in. So if you parlayed under, which everybody would have done, you made your money.
Yeah.
And
the next day, DraftKings Sportsbook stated that the under on Porter's three-pointers was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props from games that evening.
Jontay Porter.
Folks jumping on Jontay Porter.
And 2 days later, he scored 12 points with 7 rebounds, right? So
in 19 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually playing really well. Yeah, and then and then it happened again March 20th against the Sacramento Kings. His over-unders were 7.5, 5.5. He played 3 minutes before leaving because of what the Raptors said was an illness, and he did not return. So here's the way it works. Every sports book I've ever played at, if you bet on a prop, which I don't do, but I have in the past, if a player plays 1 second or one snap in football, grades, win or loss, doesn't matter, right? You know, people always complain, void some so-and-so.
That rarely
void
happens,
so-and-so.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, unless it's like a superstar that gets hurt in the first 10 seconds of a game or something. But that's not usually how it works. There was a story many years ago. I don't know if people remember this. There was a situation where Draymond Green was going to get an honorary start, but was not going to play. He was going to get an honorary start, and he was going to check out after the first dead ball. And that information was not priced accurately at sportsbooks. People that were privy to that information ran over to the sportsbooks, under, same way, parlayed all that, made a fortune. And I believe the sportsbooks was DraftKings. They had to pay it all out. It was very controversial. It was very. They fought it. They said we shouldn't have to pay this out. We were taken advantage of. Ultimately, I think they decided to. What they did was they paid the money out, but banned everybody who took advantage of them on that situation. Which, look, if you knew that, you would bet your entire life savings, right? If you knew that Draymond Green was going to play for 5 seconds and check out, you would bet every dollar you have on his under, 7.5, 9.5, whatever, and you would be a rich man. And that's what happened. So, point being, there's no world to me where Jontay Porter was not aware of what was happening.
Well, he pulled himself out of the games.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you had an excuse with the Grizzlies one. You had the eye thing. You could say it. And then with the illness one, you just say, I feel sick.
Exactly.
And you can tell people beforehand, this is what's going to happen.
It's just too random.
He was a dum-dum.
It's too random that people would be betting big money on Jontay Porter unders. It's too random. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let alone be the biggest winner of the night of all the players in the NBA. Not Ant Edwards, not Luka Doncic, not Victor Wembanyama, but the biggest winner
Jontay
of the night
unders.
Was Jontay Porter, a backup big man. Come on, bro. This is what it would look like. I don't know where it goes from here. My guess is the NBA will absolutely make an example out of him and ban him for life.
Yeah, he was on a two-way making $415.
Right. That's the kind of player who would do it, mm-hmm. who's making good money for the average man, but for an NBA player, definitely not. And on, you know, is he going to get a long-term, you know, who knows? So that's what it would look like. And I don't think this is like, again, there's a lot of pearl clutching going on about the sports betting industry now that leagues are so in bed with it. Everywhere you look, it's NFL, NBA, et cetera. I think the opposite. I think the fact that, again, that this is regulated, this was discovered, it should make people feel safe. It should make people feel safer about their bets, that people are, any suspicious activity, Temple, investigated.
We still trying to figure that out, aren't we?
Yeah, and I mean, them folks got to the AAC championship game, all right? So don't tell me something wasn't amiss there. Something was going on. Something was afoot.
So this, then what you're suggesting is that for the last 30 to 40 years, when the illegal booking market was doing this pre-phone stuff, pre-FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, that we didn't know about this
absolutely
kind of stuff.
Not.
And it probably went on, and now there's more of a likelihood that you
no
would find
doubt
it.
In my mind. No doubt in my mind.
Wild.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're going to have more discovery now because you have more people, more eyes on it.
It's fair. It's a good point.
People have, you know, full-time jobs doing this. And so I think that should give people a little bit more peace of mind that, you know,
interesting.
The stuff that they're betting on is there's integrity attached to it. That's the big story here, is not that, you know, sports books, betting. It's that there was a player in the NBA who was willing to tank and to take a dive, right? That's the story. And so, you know, you can't do that in this day and age and not get found. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You know, you're just too random, bro. It'd be like somebody going and smashing Jordan Goodwin unders for $150,000. You know, it's like, that's just not. Now, again, I don't think most people could do that because there's not going to be a ton of liquidity. That's the other thing on a player prop. But like the bigger books, DraftKings, FanDuel, et cetera, if you have a clean account that hasn't been limited or collared in any way, I think you could certainly put in a $4,000 parlay. I mean, I don't know. I've seen some crazy numbers. It's hard to know if it's real, you know. How much exactly, but you can get down a four-leg parlay for $3,500 on a clean account on all Jontay Porter unders. You know, that pay out pretty good. So you just have to know and trust that, you know, there's eyes on it, man. And if indeed this is what happened with Jontay Porter, and again, my lean there is very much that it is real, he will be made an example out of, just to let everybody know, we don't care who you are. We don't care if you're a 10-day or a 2-way or a whatever. You do that, you pull this, you're out forever. You're banned forever. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, it was a very busy day in that world yesterday. All right, Brandon Clark and King James are both going to play tomorrow, cap or no cap.
Well, all signs seem to point to Brandon Clark and it being the day tomorrow. It's not certain. He was upgraded to doubtful for the Denver game. Did warm up and everything else. Seemed to be getting ready for a return. So I feel pretty good about. LeBron, they've got a back-to-back that starts tonight. He is listed as doubtful for their TNT game against the Milwaukee Bucks. You wonder if with them really kind of entrenched in that nine spot, they're 2.5 games behind Phoenix and 2.5 games against Golden State, so they're okay. You figure LeBron James, who has had this ankle injury since the All-Star break and has been on that injury list one way or the other ever since, was only missed one game, I think. It was against the Bucks team that they actually beat without him. Seems if you're doubtful tonight, sit him tonight. He plays tomorrow night against the Grizzlies, because that's the team that you know you can handle. You go 1-1 there, you're stood in a good spot in terms of where you are holding on to that nine seed. So it makes a lot of sense to me that LeBron James would go tomorrow night against the Grizzlies. I could also see that where you say, hey, if we're good enough to beat the Bucks as we did earlier this year without LeBron, hey, we should, you know, give him 2 days rest. You know, let's get this ankle thing squared away, because what's going to matter most is where he's at playoffs with that ankle. Could also make a case see him sitting them both. But LeBron wants to play. I mean, he's even through this. I think, again, he's only missed one since the All-Star break. So I'm going to go that he plays along with Brandon Clark down at FedEx Forum tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm not the LeBron whisperer in the same way. I don't know, but it seems like he always wants to play against the Grizzlies. There's history now with Bane and all these guys, so I would guess he would play. And they need wins, right? I mean,
they do. I mean, again, it's not done, but they got 2.5 game cushion both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a spot where they could technically say, you know what, if we win 0-2, not so bad. But I don't think you want to risk it here. It's yeah, maybe you feel like you can catch Phoenix based on what we saw yesterday.
Right.
But that would be more reason to play him on Wednesday night. So,
right.
Yeah, I think he plays one of the two, and he doesn't play tonight against the Bucks.
All right, the XFL kickoffs will work in the NFL, and they will stay. Cap or no cap?
So this is very exciting, and I think it's no cap. I think they will stay. Now, it's on a trial run, basically, which gives the NFL – the opportunity to change after a year. But what you're going to do essentially is still kick off from where you have been, if I've got it right, from the 35, but you'll watch it and what the XFL does. I was explaining this to John. Your kickoff team for that kicker is not with you. They're down on the other end of the field, not far from the kickoff receiving team, and what you won't have is a team running down. This is to increase returns. Apparently last year, only 4 out of 5 kickoffs weren't returned. Only 1 out of 5, a 20% return rate. They're trying to increase that by doing this and limit collisions. You do that by not having players, blockers go down, run down, have those collisions. And so what that receiver will do then is take off from behind a kick return line that 5-10 yards away has got that kickoff team already there. I know that it sounds weird. It's a huge change because, again, your kickoff team will now be on the other side of the field with the receiving team. But it's going to give an opportunity, and you see it in the XFL, for these guys to now make some plays from behind there. And it hits the whole we want fewer collisions on kickoffs. You're still addressing that. But what it's led to now is you don't have anybody returning kicks at all. So they want to get one of the most explosive plays in football back and try to increase these kickoff rates. So I actually think it's gonna end up increasing rates, kickoff return rates, in an exciting way to where, yeah, maybe you'll have to make some tweaks to it, but this is something that'll be here to stay because it accomplishes two things. Hopefully brings a little bit more excitement and, again, fewer collisions for guys going down on blocks, guys running down the field.
Yeah, I do think they had to do something. Because it was like, it was just irrelevant. It was like,
it's
no
now
point.
Not even part of the, you might as well just give the possession over the other team.
It just started at 25.
4 out of 5 were not being returned.
Yeah, it was like just a waste of time for everybody. And you risk injury too, right? I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, people can still get hurt somehow in freakish accidents, just running down the field. So it's like one unnecessary running down the field. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is at least, you got to do something. You got to try to tweak. If you're going to have it, you got to do something better than what you've been doing.
Yeah, hopefully it adds to the kickoff, again, being something exciting. And you get, these kickoff returns, you get kickoff return stars again, like the Devin Hesters of the world, come back and can make some plays again.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is that, you are somebody that, lived that life. You went to the Super Bowl basically because of that.
And dude returned one. In the Super Bowl.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Gave us the lead there early.
So, yeah. I mean, you know how much I love...
he's going to the Hall of Fame based on his return career.
It's 100% true.
So
yeah. I mean, you got to do something, and I'm glad they did. So, anyway. All right. Houston, as Glorilla might say, will beat the nail polish off of Duke this weekend. Cap or no cap. Houston, a 4-point favorite.
The nail polish?
No, I don't know.
They're just
going to
smack them up.
I don't know why. I don't know why our panelists.
They are
added
a physical
that.
Team.
Yeah, I mean the nail polish thing seems a little out of bounds.
So what you're saying is that the Dukies wear nail polish.
Jared McCain wears nail polish.
Okay,
so does your future quarterback. It's just something you're going to have to get used to.
It's okay. I'm getting accustomed to it.
Right, it's the new thing.
I'm going to go with no, they don't just smack them up here. No. I know you believe they will.
That's the only bet I've made so far this weekend is I'll tell you the bet. I'll tell you
Do you even practice this week if you're Houston, as banged up as you are?
What's to practice?
Not much.
What's to practice, Jason? I mean, you know.
It's going to be a walkthrough, if anything else, I mean, in terms of what you do with Duke, because it's all about those guys need to recoup.
Yes, they do. I mean, they need, and again, I think that extra day is vital, right? I wrote a little bit about it today, and I don't know how much of it we haven't already talked about, but I think it's not a coincidence that you look at this Houston team, and Jamal Shedd's been there since he was 17 as a freshman. Juwan Roberts been there since he was a 17-year-old freshman. Javier Francis, Ramon Walker, they've been there since they were freshmen. And did you know this stat? Houston has only had 2 players in their actual rotation that have transferred out of the program in the last 10 years.
There you go.
I mean, that says that's a mouthful right there, isn't it? So the last 10 years, in a day and age where every college basketball player, it seems like, just can't wait to find the new and shiny thing, players come to Houston, they put down roots, and only 2 players who are actually in their top 10 of their rotation in the last 10 years have transferred. That's actually unbelievable. And I think there's that's not an accident. That's not a coincidence. It's because when you get there, there is an expectation, a standard, and I think Kelvin Sampson is very selective with who he chooses to bring. I think he knows that the players he brings in are going to do that. He knows that these guys have that in them, that I'm not going to have to worry about them quitting on me because we know what each other is signing up for. And that's a very unique thing. And I sort of wrote about it in the context of there's really no reason why Penny can't be that guy because he's still somebody that NBA players who don't have connections to Memphis seek out to work out with in the summer because they want to pick his brain, because they want to be around him, because they want to hear what he has to say or his vantage point. Penny can be a guy like that. Now, look, it may not be possible. It may be an anomaly. Houston, what they're doing may be a one-of-one type of thing. But I think that's the way you have to build it. Kelvin took LJ out of the portal. He took Damian Dunn out of the portal. I mean, he's been selective, but he hasn't depended on it. And he certainly hasn't had to reconstruct his roster every single season, you know, just trying to get to the next day, you know.
Tremont Marcus is one of those two, huh?
Yeah, yeah, Tremont Marcus.
I was just trying to think of who the, yeah.
It's a good call, really good call.
I don't know who the other one is. Probably some kid that couldn't even name.
Yeah, but the fact that you even pulled him out, because I was trying to think of it myself. I'm like, who the hell is left that's actually been in their rotation? But, yeah, Tremont Mark is one of them. And that was probably more just it was crowded, you know? I mean, he was having to play sort of alongside Sasser and Shedd. And,
right.
You know, he had to go somewhere else. So, yeah, it's a system there. And you pointed out yesterday, 84% of their scoring yesterday was from their starters. Kelvin Sampson knows who his horses are because he raised those damn horses, basically, from ponies, you know? And he trusts them in those moments to deliver. And they basically always do.
I feel like Penny Hardaway would need another 4 to 5 years to do that.
Well,
The toothpaste might be too far out of the tube.
It might be.
To build it the way you're talking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, like he did it a totally different way.
Are people going to give – right. Because I continue to use the example of Jonathan Lawson as a guy you wanted to be that.
Exactly.
To come up, wait his turn, right, and then be ready to take it by the, you know, by the reins and run with it when you were ready to give it to him. But here's the thing about that. Like, it makes a lot of sense. It made sense for us to see, okay, Jonathan Lawson feels like he didn't play enough, like he didn't get enough opportunity after, what, redshirting and playing a year, and he's out of here. But here's what that's where Penny has to come in, and you're not just okay. No, you're right. You have to be better selecting them and knowing first who's going to stick with you and who's not. But you can't just be willing to let guys that you've invested in too, from that standpoint, the ones that you're hoping wait their turn, walk out the door on you. You have to be willing to say, no, I need you in this program. Now, maybe, again, for a Kelvin Sampson, he can identify that up front. Penny's not in a position now. You're talking about bringing in freshmen right now and waiting until year three, year four, with where you are having just missed the tournament? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On the whole, if Penny was starting like that, yeah, great, build toward it.
Right.
You're already six in.
No, I agree.
See what I'm saying? So this is – and with, what, 10, 11 to replace here. And so it's tough to now build that from where you are. And especially when guys that you had lined up to do that have already moved on out of here. You got to find new ones. Now, is that Sharon Fine and Ashton Hardaway? You know? Because, again, when is that going to pay off? When do they become the Sheds? You know, when? Because you got to go through a couple of more seasons before you're ready for that. So, you're right. It'd be nice if he could flip the switch and it all looked like what Kelvin's got. It took Kelvin a while to build it like that. And then to be able to go select the guys you want who aren't going to quit because what? They see Houston players have waited their turn.
Yep.
They can believe that story because it's what's happening. Right? It's not
the other one, by the way.
Caleb sure is. It's not Jaden playing over me.
Right.
But back, they believe it because they've seen it. They've seen guys wait their turn, shed behind Sasser.
Exactly.
Like they've all, it's been that every year, especially in that backcourt.
No, it's true.
Where guys come up and then it's yours.
It's
true.
And
then you take over. You can't just flip it and it's like that next year for Penny.
And Kelvin had the benefit, and I'll say this, Kelvin had the benefit of already having been a successful head coach at multiple different
places.
He came in with knowing this is how it has to be. right?
Yeah, but then you had to get him to come to Houston and everything. Like, and there wasn't much tradition, not the kind of tradition he got going now.
That's kind of why, like, it gives me some optimism, though. Like, I mean, they were nothing. He was 13-19 his first season at Houston. He didn't make the tournament until four seasons in.
Right. That's what I was saying. It still took him a while to build, even with that, you know, with the resume that he had as a great college basketball coach going in. Still took him a while. Because you got to convince those kids that the best thing for you to do is stay in a transfer portal era where everybody's leaving. You'll get your opportunity if you keep pushing. Like, that's what you don't have that right now at Memphis. And you can't just flip a switch and get it. It feels like to me, again, that take Penny 2, 3, 4 years to get to that point. Does he still have that kind of time? You do from a contract standpoint.
Yep.
But do you have it from now, from a fan base, right, that's got the high expectations that feels like this was a step back? It's going to be tough.
It's going to be very
tough. To get to something. I mean, that's as good. But Kelvin's got is as good as it is in college basketball. Like you said, only two guys transfer.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
But you do have to.
Can you get something closer to that? It's because
you do have to do something, though. Don't you agree? I mean, you have to try to do something different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever.
Right. He's just not set up very well to go a different path because, again, you are replacing so many this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there was more to keep off this team, I could lean your way a little more on how realistic it is for Penny to get there.
Yeah, like ultimately, that's the thing. Is like, it may be too far gone, but honestly, I just wanted to write about. I want to write a little love letter to Houston because I've always had such an immense respect for Kelvin, but I also still think there are some things that that Penny can look at and say, hey, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that's probably the weak spot for Penny. The blind spot is he cannot and has not been able to, unless they played for him, identify a guy that will stick with him. You know, he's never had it. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why he's not been able to find a player that hasn't played for him to be here for more than a year. DeAndre was the only one, basically, right?
Yeah, we'll see on David Jones.
David Jones might be another one. But that's it. Is there another guy that didn't play for him that's been here for more than a year?
Well, I mean, Jordan is set up to be that, but
Tyler Harris. He was here for, you know.
But he
left and then came back.
As a walk-on.
Right, so maybe that's
one
not a good example.
Push back out.
That's not a good example.
One game's where you push back out.
Right. So, okay. So, in terms of players that didn't play for him in high school, it was DeAndre Jordan, maybe David Jones. That's it. I think that is a blind spot. That is a blind spot for Penny that he has not been able to identify a real in-the-trenches soldier with him. Like, again, look at the teams in college basketball right now that are still playing. Zakai Ziegler been there with Rick for a long time. Baycott, RJ Davis been there a whole career.
Josiah Escavez been there multiple years now. I see
you're protective of that Tennessee information, brother. I respect that.
Just a lot more. Just
you want me to put a little bit more
just
respect?
Zakai Ziegler.
But he's my favorite, though. He's my favorite.
He needs to be more consistent.
I don't think there's a single team that's still playing that doesn't have a multi-year guy on it. I'm saying in that program, right, who's a major contributor. I don't think there's a single program still playing. And that's not an accident, you know?
That's why you have to get that. You have to find the Cam Joneses and the Matthew Morrills that will stay.
Yeah.
They are here. And again, maybe they're not playing year one. Maybe they're not playing year two. And when they're saying, you know, they're having feeling, okay, I might, you got to hold on to those guys if you're going to get it closer to what Kelvin's got. And Kelvin's got a real culture.
Yep.
That's where the value is. That's what Penny is talking about. They lost this year.
Yep.
So, you got to find a mix of those freshman types that you hope can be in the program for 3-4 years. Go get you some transfers in terms of multi-year guys, and then just a couple of the 1 years, right? You can't go crazy on the 1 year guys. You can't keep a culture like that.
Yeah, like we could actually just kind of go through it right now, which would be a fun exercise.
Tennessee did it, you know, with Connect basically. You know, you get those guys are the sort of final pieces. I like Derrick Rose was that final piece to that team. Connect has been for this Tennessee team in that way. You know, Kendrick Davis for that team.
Yeah, I mean, you wish you had him.
You want one or two of those guys that could sort of be that final piece. But the rest of it needs to be culture and guys that have come up through your program.
Yeah,
been here multiple years as transfers.
Like
it's about a balance.
Carolina, we know Armando Baycott, RJ Davis. Alabama, Mark Sears was playing behind
is the one.
Bradley and Quinterly.
And he kept them through all of it.
And now he's an All-American guard, right? So there you go. Arizona, you have Pella Larson, Umar Ballo.
But have added a transfer to top it off with Caleb Love. That's the point here.
You take here and there, right? Colin Boswell, sophomore. Clemson, P.J. Hall, right? We know he's been there forever. Mm-hmm. UConn, Caravan, Tristan Newton has been there for several years. Donovan Klingon been there for 2 years. Jaden Ledee, San Diego State, been there forever. Iowa State, Taman Lipsey, sophomore, who's been there for 2 years. Coleman Hawkins been at Illinois. Terry Shannon been at Illinois. Zach Edey been at Purdue. Anton Watson been at Gonzaga, right? Tennessee, we just talked about. Creighton, Kalkbrenner has been there for forever. You know, Houston, Duke has Filipowski. So, Marquette, Cam Jones, NC State, DJ Burns. Like,
Colet.
Yeah, Colet. Like, all these teams have two-plus-year players in that program, right, that decided to come back.
Penny can't just get that next year, especially if you don't have David Jones.
The only one is Jordan and Jones. Now, that might be enough.
It's a great start. It's a good to great start. On fixing.
Yes.
But if you don't have those, bro, forget Jordan. Because by himself, that didn't get anything done.
Right.
Although he was playing really well before Tomlin. He was kind of fine. I do think it affected Jordan in a different way. That's if you don't have David as that guy, multiple year one, as one of those guys we're talking about, it's going to be much tougher because then it's almost complete turnover.
Yeah, it's a theme. And I'm hopeful. I mean, I think that's as much a key to it as anything. And again, Memphis went to two straight tournaments when DeAndre Williams was on the team as a multi-year player. Yeah, you add and you supplement and you complement and you even enhance like they do with Kendrick Davis. But you got to have that foundation. That's what Houston has always had, and it's why they're always where they are. All right, we'll come back. Jessica Benson going to join us. We'll talk to her about all of this and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM? Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bien. You can follow her on X at Jess Benson TV. We're so grateful to have her join us at this time on Tuesday. Jess, we got plenty of Grizz to get to, including last night in Denver and hopefully a Brandon Clark return tomorrow. But I got to ask you, because it's celebration time, I'm having fun. I know you're having a blast. Juju Watkins and USC, they are through the Sweet 16. I read first time since my senior year in high school, 93-94. How about Juju?
It is electric at USC right now, yep. And it was awesome to see Cheryl Miller was at their game last night against Kansas, a sold-out Galen Center in L.A. Caleb Williams was there, Matt Leinart was there, Lincoln Riley was there. Anyone who supports USC had to be there because Juju's her, right? Like, I watched those women's games yesterday, and I talked about this on my show this morning. I really think this was the first time in my life that I have consumed the second round of the women's tournament in a similar way to how I do the men's. Like, normally I have a couple matchups that maybe I'm interested in, but I'm not really all in on it until Sweet 16, Elite 8, and then certainly the Final Four. But I sat down yesterday and five straight games on ESPN were just straight hits, and it closed with Juju and USC getting the win over Kansas. Obviously, Caitlin Clark in Iowa, the big headliner in there, too close for comfort win for TV execs, I'm sure, over West Virginia. But before that, there was the UConn-Syracuse game, and Paige Beckers is out there dueling with Daisha Fair, and the Tennessee-NC State game before that was great, Notre Dame-Ole Miss. It was just truly a day of, oh my God, this tournament's amazing, and I got to witness so much great basketball that just included Fight On Forever, USC making it to the Sweet 16.
So I did the exact same thing where I caught the second half of Caitlin in that Iowa game, and then I watched Juju Watkins, and she's fantastic. 28 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Watch part of that USC game. And everything that you're saying is what I – it's the star power that right now the women's tournament has got – the men's doesn't have as much of. I mean, it's just so obvious. There's like there at least one in every women's game, whereas with these men's game, you just don't have that caliber of star like you do in this women's tournament. They really do truly have an advantage over the men's tournament, it feels like, from that perspective.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And even from the concept of, like, Notre Dame played earlier, and Hannah Hidalgo, who's a freshman, yep. You see these younger players where you're just like, oh, they are going to very easily carry the game forward. Yes, Caitlin Clark is going to the WNBA, and that's exciting, and hopefully that will continue to bring new fans to the W, and as their sport continues to grow. But like college basketball on the women's side is in very good hands. We saw Allie Crooks, the standout from Iowa State, and they had a great game with Stanford. I got back from the Houston-Texas A&M game on the men's side here in Memphis on Sunday night, and I was like, I really need to go to bed. And instead, I got sucked into watching overtime Stanford, yeah. Iowa State, you have Cameron Brink for Stanford. Like you said, there's just so many names right now where I'm able to very quickly whip around various stars around the sport. And granted, on the men's side, like, this is the time of year where we really care, but it felt like there was more momentum into the individual personalities on the women's side this year.
Where are you, real quick, before we get over to Grizzlies, where are you on the Kim Mulkey, we're waiting for this story, sort of how you feel about it? I'm not sure we've talked with you about Kim. My partner has stated how he feels. Not a good person to go to the league. But, you know, wouldn't send my daughter to go play for. I'm just curious, where are you? Is the same level of anticipation there for you in terms of what comes out of this Washington Post story?
I would say I've already talked about it with people twice today. So I think I honestly have you to can. Say yes. But I don't necessarily think that I would be feeling this way if I had just seen I believe it was Pat Forty who had the original tweet where it was like circling the wagons article, Washington Post is coming out. So if that is the only thing that I knew about it, my interest would have been piqued. But what really makes me so intrigued is Kim Mulkey's response herself and going out of her way of her opening statement in the middle of a huge tournament for LSU. And she felt the need to come down on the Washington Post and say that she's hiring the best defamation lawyers in the country. And so you can't help but think, we already know so much about her, right? Like, I feel like I have a general grasp that I probably would not get along with Kim Mulkey in real life. Do I respect her? Well, get away from that. But she's a talented coach who has winning basketball teams and is the reigning champion in women's college basketball. But I know that I disagree on how she has approached various things, most notably the treatment of Brittany Griner, both when Brittany Griner was at Baylor and then also everything that popped off with Kim Mulkey not offering an iota of support as she went through something so horrendous. And so I feel like I know, so what could I know more is where I'm at now. And it just feels like based on her response, it has to be really, really bad. So yes, I will probably fire up a new subscription to the Washington Post so I can read it myself.
I'm going to be right there with you. We're talking, of course, to Jessica Benson of Grind City Media. All right, last night, Grizz taking on the head, 128-103 at Denver. Obviously finished that road trip 1-3. I think what we're most excited about in terms of optimism is what will hopefully happen tomorrow, Jess. Brandon Clark returning against the Lakers. Grizzlies back at home. Are you expecting that? And if you are, you know, what's important to see in your mind from Brandon Clark here for however many games, however much time we do get to see him?
Right. So I never want to speak as an expert having gone through an Achilles injury myself, because I am but a normal plebeian and my body is not my career. I am not a professional athlete by any means, but from just the like sheer shared experience of understanding how awful that injury is, I will be emotional watching Brandon Clark return to the court, hopefully tomorrow. And I know he continues to go through the check marks, and he was doubtful for the Denver game, and he did his warm-ups there in Denver and went through altitude and all of that. And so we'll see if, you know, he gets that golden questionable designation here. But it does feel as if the momentum is certainly on track for Brandon Clarke to play games this season, which we didn't know if that would be the case. And so to be able to come back, particularly with what Brandon Clarke's calling card is, which is his bounce, which is his ability to leap and get up to the rim, it just shows that he's worked really, really hard. And both the physical side of that hard work and the mental side of it, I think it'll be great for him. I've seen a lot of people say, oh, don't risk it. Don't have him. This is a meaningless season. Why would you come back? Well, a big part of it is just learning to trust your body again. And as he takes step by step of, you know, 3-on-3 to 5-on-5 to playing actual NBA minutes, there's a level of, like, can my body do this? And I think it's such a gift that he's able to come back during a time where he is not needed. It is a luxury that Brandon Clarke can begin to gain a sense of confidence again playing and hopefully showing what the Grizzlies have when it comes to continuing to build out their front court beyond.
You know, I'm not on TikTok. You may know that. I'm an old man, dinosaur, slow to change and all that. But I did see, and maybe it was on Facebook or something else, the way you pushed through that, that you went through to push it, and it just, you should be up for comeback player of the year, Jess. Real respect, though, because I don't think people have any idea of how devastating, and especially for us civilians, how devastating an injury that is.
Yeah, I mean, it changes your entire life. And, like, even I was reflecting with my husband, who became my full-time caretaker, and we were fortunate enough that he had job flexibility. I tore my right Achilles, so I couldn't drive. I couldn't take myself to work. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get my bathroom in our house that we had just purchased a week before was up 4 stairs. And so figuring out how to navigate that, it's really heavy, and people go through horrible things every day and cancer and injuries and whatnot. And so you never want to overinflate, but it really is a life-changing injury. I've unfortunately had like 3 people in my surroundings that have torn their Achilles in the last month, and watching them go through the early stages has taken me back to just how horrendous it is. And, you know, that's what BC went through. And for him, I cannot imagine from an athlete's brain of being like, oh my God, will I ever be the version of myself that I was? And thanks to advancements in medicine and treatment and rehabilitation, we've seen time and time again athletes have come back. And so all of that is so promising for him and for anybody else who happens to find themselves maybe playing basketball too old into their normal life where you also tear your Achilles someday, although I hope no one does.
Her story.
I pray.
Not history. Her story.
Her story.
Yeah. I mean, and you make it every single day. We actually ran into each other at the NCAA tournament, which was great, and I'm glad we got a chance to do that. And then we were treated to an unbelievable game between A&M and Houston that went to overtime. Houston lost 4 players to fouling out. They gave up 45 offensive rebounds or 26 offensive rebounds, sent the Aggies to the line 45 times, became the first team to win an NCAA tournament game with 4 or more players fouling out since 1987. And I could not help but come away, Jessica, and not think that this is a win that Memphis could not ever get. That honestly, most teams could not get, and like I actually any other team in America could not get, and it's specifically because of the culture that Kelvin Sampson has laid. What did you make of just how Houston won that game and what they're, you know, bound to do in the rest of this tournament?
Yeah, no, I was beyond impressed, and I think I had tried to talk myself out of Houston this season quite stupidly, because the fact that they were able to hang on, like, that was a gutsy performance from some of those deep in the bench reserves. And you're right, it's a testament to what Kelvin Sampson has built, and it's a testament to Jamal Shedd, who, yes, he ends up fouling out late in that overtime period, but the importance of having him on the court and what it means to have an elite point guard in college basketball. I feel like we say this every year. Do you have one of the best point guards in the country? You have a chance at winning the tournament. And Jamal Shedd just blew me away watching him in person, obviously more so in the Texas A&M game. Admittedly, I left at halftime of the Houston-Longwood game. It did not feel like a real basketball game, but watching them duel it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.